Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I never needed to know a Talib Kweli thought about anything other than a song with Mary J. Blige.
Dog, I used to think,
you know what I'm saying?
Talib was a genius.
I thought he made me a genius.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so smart, I listened to Mos Def. Any rapper that Dave Chappelle lauded,
dude,
I think he's in that genre, right?
I used to think Common was a genius.
I thought Common was a genius. Oh, you were a teacher and from Chicago.
Come on, bro.
Were listening to Common.
No, and now he's doing fucking commercials for Microsoft, and you're like, this nigga's an idiot.
And I don't even know if the old stuff was smart. It is important that we communicate. I don't know what it means to tune the fate of this union to the right pitch.
Yeah, no, he's just saying stuff.
Man.
He's just saying stuff. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me,
the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories.
And we finally work to prove that Joe Budden is a prime example of what happens when your beard connects too much. There is a rule. It has to look at least like there are a few patches in there, but that motherfucker connects too much and it's getting to his brain. I'm Langston Kirby.
I'm David Borey, and I am blown away.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's like the problems you never even think about. You know
what
I'm
saying? You don't want that much connection, man.
It's so connected that, like, how could anything else go right?
Yeah. This is too full.
Because, I mean, we could argue that's one of the better beards around.
But it ain't, you know what I mean? Like, it is, in a technical sense, it is a perfectly full beard. But then you look at it and you're like, I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want what he has.
Okay, here's a couple things about Joe Budden's beard, I think, first of all.
Yeah, let's get into Joe Budden's beard.
It sits higher.
Very high.
Than most black men's beard, like, then his shit's like 2 inches away from his eyebrows.
Yeah, if he winks, it moves.
Yeah, he looks like a Woolly Willy. And
you don't want your beard that tall. That's a tall T of a beard.
And it's also so manicured that I feel like I have to wash my words here.
Mm.
As I come to Steeple.
Okay. Be careful.
It's so well put together. And this is by the grace of God. His beard genetics are so strong that I feel like it makes him look foreign in a way that's...
Sure. Listen, say no more. Say no more. I 100% agree. Joe Budden looks like an immigrant from beard alone. And I don't know. I'm not here to place what that immigrant is. I'm certainly not taking a stance on whether or not that person belongs in this country. I am, in fact, welcoming that individual to this country. That is not the stance I think we're taking. We are saying is that Joe Budden very much looks like an immigrant to the United States because of his beard.
He looks like a cartoon character of an untrustworthy man. Is
he looks like when you get attacked by a person, this is who you tell the police to draw from memory so that you can find that individual.
You know what it is? It's Uncanny Valley, the beard looks so good that you don't trust it. That's what it is.
It's a Polar Express beard, for sure.
The lines are so sharp that you're like, this can't. That's I don't know what human. I'm looking at, but it's not right.
That's not how people are.
Yeah, it's like, the weird thing is, it's almost got like a Fat Joe quality to his beard, but it's like, that's the beard that Fat Joe wants.
That's the thing, is that I do think that Fat Joe really worked hard for the beard that he has, and while I don't care for it, I recognize that, like, no, this was a concerted effort to create this. He's putting Beijing in it. He's earned that beard. Trying to make that shit look a certain way. 100%. Whereas I think Joe Budden is cursed with whatever he has.
That woman put that spell on him. That foreign woman that he wronged.
Which isn't a far-fetched possibility.
No, that's exactly what happened. You don't think it was some Haitian girl he dated when he was 16?
Yeah. The idea that Joe Budden hasn't done dirt in the Dominican feels crazy.
Oh, I bet you there's some illegitimate Buddens running around the islands.
Boudins.
Just some little Dominican boy who can rap very well.
Because for some reason chooses not to. Go back to rapping, man.
We were talking about this off air because the Joe Budden conversations never stop. I'm a big joke. That guy can rap his ass off.
He can rap his ass off. I don't appreciate any of his thoughts outside of hip hop, but I genuinely am a big fan of the music he used to make.
Same. Mood Music 1-4. You know what? Joe Budden came to me at a time I needed a sad rapper. I needed a sad rapper. I needed a rapper with some issues. Also, you were like, this guy is sad and depression and he has addiction issues. He's also getting a pussy.
Of course.
That's like that Venn diagram was not, I feel like he invented that lane.
I genuinely miss the point where we didn't have to hear the opinions outside of the rapper's raps. You know what I mean? Where we just got the raps and we didn't know anything about them otherwise. And that, ooh, what a satisfying thing that we used to have.
Especially because I think that you and I are probably in the same vein where you remember that you, when you had rappers that you listened to make people think you were smart?
Of course.
Those are the guys that we needed to hear less from. And this is all when I was a teenager. And I've since grown up to understand I am not that smart.
No.
But there was a whole genre of rappers who made you feel smart. And those guys being exposed is maybe not the smartest guys. And then you get old and you're like, wow, 50 Cent's really smart?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking who you find out is actually like. Turns out Plies is a pretty thoughtful guy.
Meanwhile, in 05, I was like, bus it, baby. I'm going to listen to the Get My Remix.
Yeah, it turns out Plies is like a fucking brilliant dude. Meanwhile, Lupe has some work to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking crazy.
I thought Lupe could truly run for Congress at some point.
Fuck, man. It's a tragic thing that happened, but maybe a necessary thing. Maybe that is part of growing up, is you realize your heroes are fallible the same way everybody else is.
I guess. I think that it means that there is a dearth and we can sneak in and get some of this fake smart black money.
I like that. Yeah, you know I will. I mean? Speaking to that, we had that beautiful Vulture article that was written about us, where the author was very generous in his explanation and breakdown of sort of the brilliant work that we're doing.
Brilliant work that you're doing. I felt like, and he was like, and David Borey, if Langston doesn't have well thought out, developed research, David comes in with his trusty sound pad. Bing bong, Darkie presses a button. And I understand the place I occupy. I'm wearing a booty call t-shirt right now.
Yeah, that's not that was the point. Gorgeous. What a I think gorgeous it's really, piece. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Oh, man, it looks good, man.
But yeah, that to say, if we're gonna be if you're gonna be a charlatan, I think I would rather be a charlatan who's pretending I'm smart, as opposed to like, I'm not gonna pretend I kill people or some shit.
Yeah, you know, no, I want to reassure our audience that no matter what comes out about us, no matter what you start to believe, let me reassure you, we are idiots.
Yeah.
We are absolute fucking dum-dums. And even if there are parts of you that start to believe otherwise, you're wrong and you need to reflect on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because if you really pay attention, we've been leading a breadcrumb trail the whole time. It's like the end of Usual Suspects, where he starts walking straight and you realize that he is actually a smart man.
Yeah.
That's the opposite. What's going to happen worry. With me and Langston?
Don't worry. The limp stays.
That being said, write more articles about us. It was a very nice article.
It was a lovely article, and we would love more of them. And make sure you call us both brilliant next time, or at least acknowledge my man does more than just press bing bong on the pad.
No, I mean, no, they were nice to me. That's just how I interpret it, because I'm a sensitive bitch.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
We have an email that we wanted to read today. We got a very fun email.
Yeah, this is an exciting one.
From a person named Corey, a proud little mama they identify as. I want to assume it's a he, but I don't know for sure. But maybe it's a she, maybe it's a they.
Is Corey a girl's name?
It can be either one.
Oh, I never met a girl Corey, I don't think.
You never met a girl Corey?
I feel like I knew a girl named Cora.
Oh, sure. From the real world.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
No, Coral. That was her name.
Coral. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of Coral. Mm. What was that little girl? No, that was Troy from Crooklyn.
Yeah, Troy.
Troy
was her
the
name.
Boy.
Yeah.
Man, that movie was sad, huh?
Yeah, I just watched it. I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but I just watched it for the first time like a week ago.
Really?
I had seen snippets, I had seen clips and shit, but I never
to talk
actually
about it like parties and whatnot.
Yeah, I could keep up. Like, I knew what the basis of the film was, but I never sat and watched the entire movie. And it starts off and you're like, man, this might be Spike Lee's just most uplifting, sweet film about just a family with some odd characters. And then it gets sad and sadder and then uncomfortable and then saddest.
But good movie. I love Alfre Woodard and Delroy Lindo.
Delroy and Lindo, baby.
I don't think we talk about how good that guy is. When did he miss?
Never.
When's he ever missed?
Worst name in the game, and truly phenomenal. It's hard to remember. I love saying it, but it ain't an easy one when you want to recall your favorite actor.
I love it. I think, man, if I was named Delroy Lindo, this would be all different.
You think the podcast would be thriving?
If my name was Delroy Lindo, I would be a Talib Kweli style rapper.
You think we wouldn't even be podcasting? You think this would just be a different wave?
You think Delroy Lindo has a podcast?
I pray to God he does not.
Yeah, of course not. He doesn't need it. His name is Delroy Lindo.
He seems like he goes to bed in long shirts. Does that make sense?
He feels like, he seems like he wears every fabric except denim.
Uh-huh.
Does that, like, I think that he hasn't had a pair of jeans since the 60s.
And why would he? Why would he? You can't even buy that when your name is Delroy.
Here's some shit that's about to fuck you up. Uh-oh. I looked him up.
Yeah.
Born in London.
Delroy Lindo is British?
Not even ours. He moved here when he was 16.
Delroy Lindo? Whoa, I thought he was the blackest man on earth.
You could be black from London.
Not according to me.
It almost makes more sense if you think about it in a British accent. Like, think about this. I was hanging with my mate Delroy, right?
Yeah, no, it feels, yeah, oh, fuck. He really is British.
Yeah.
Whoa, I wonder, God, it makes
sense because they're better at acting than us, so it kind of does make sense.
Delroy Lindo, my man.
Fuck. But the son of Jamaican parents, which I think we all could have guessed as well.
Yeah, no, we knew there was Caribbean blood flowing through there.
Yeah, he's...
the man has been wearing mesh tank tops for for 40 years. I think we knew that was the Caribbean.
He drinks out of a fruit. He's drank out of a fruit. But not in the, like, touristy way. Just in the way where it was hot out and he cracked open a fruit and got the juices. I feel like we go at Caribbean people hard on this podcast sometimes. I want people to know, I want to live in the Caribbean. I think it's great.
I'm a fan. When I lived in Boston, I had some nasty run-ins with Haitians, but otherwise, I'm a pretty big fan of Caribbeans, I would say.
What happened?
I just think they're the dominant community out there, and they move the way they move, and I move like a nigga from Chicago, and that don't always...
That's complicated.
Yeah, you don't always get along when you are of two different worlds in that way.
Man, I know this shit was real because you did not answer my question at all, really. Like, the way you answered was like, there's specifics that you really don't want to get into. That was crazy. when you start blaming your city, that's when it's like, you know what I mean? When
listen,
like,
we all come from different places, and community is important.
Listen, if you got beat up by some Haitians, you could say it.
No, I didn't get beat up by any Haitians, but I didn't care for their personalities more often than not when I was in Boston. But otherwise, I'm a big fan of Caribbeans across the board.
Yeah, I appreciate island culture.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates.
Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We're calling upon you because we have new merch. We have very exciting merch that we are now selling, and it's fucking great. We love it so much.
It's sleek. It's sexy.
Come on. You want to tell them what we have?
Yeah, we have three different types of hats, which is really fun. We have a two-tone hat, an alien dad hat, the traditional logo in black and khaki. Then we have the enamel pin with the alien who has a koofy on it, says, "My mama told me." And then we have t-shirts that say, "Proud little mama," which is who you are.
Yeah, you can buy the merch now. Go to mymamatoldme.merchtable.com. It's a brand new name, but it's the same old merch. And we would love for you to get some if you haven't got it already. And we want you to have all the sweet stuff, so get it. We need to get to Corey's email.
Yeah, let's get to the email. Sorry.
Corey sent an email, and the subject line, this is a very exciting subject line. It says, "Tickling a baby equals stuttering adult? Question mark."
Love
you. Already, I'm hooked. You're hooked. They said, "Hey guys, relatively new listener, but this has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. Your episode timing is perfect as I have a long ass commute on Tuesdays and Thursdays." Fuck yeah. I don't know where you're going, Corey. And frankly, I think you need to chill the fuck out doing it every week. But that's exciting. I'm glad that we're hitting when we are supposed to hit for you.
Glad we can support your commute to both your families.
I hope they don't find out via this podcast, but we know what you're up to, Corey, and you got to stop, man. You got to pick one family and abandon the other kids. It just is the right thing to do.
Yeah, give the other kids something to overcome, you know?
Yep. Go ahead, make yourself a LeBron James and then raise a Taj Mowry in the other house. He said, "To the conspiracy, I have a son that was about 6 months old at the time of this event. I went to dinner with my mom, and my son was basically inconsolable during the dinner. He wanted to be near his dad, and anytime my mom tried to hold him, he would scream. I told my mom that he was very ticklish. Maybe try to tickle him under his armpits to lower his guard. She adamantly refused and said something to the extent of, 'No, you don't tickle babies or else they'll develop a stutter.' Then she proceeds to impersonate someone saying, 'Daddy,' with a heavy stutter. I'll spare you the phonetics."
No, I want the phonetics. Hey, yo.
That's crazy. She did an act out after saying some wild shit at the dinner table.
There's a Red Lobster, and she's like, "D-d-d-d-d-d."
The waiter just standing there, confused.
Because a stuttering impression can easily sound like another type of impression.
Right. No, it gets ugly fast if people don't know what you're doing. He goes on to say, "Have y'all heard anything like this before? I was hysterically laughing because my mom always comes out of left field with new crazy shit. Sincerely, thanks for the laughs, Corey, proud little mom."
Man, I mean, I was, let's say, first of all, Corey, your mother, hilarious.
Your mother might be prime for being a guest on this podcast.
Hall of Famer.
Unbelievably funny shit.
Yeah, that's shit out there with Jay Sean. That's the funniest shit to do ever. Oh, my God.
If your mother is still with us, and I pray that she is, please let her know we are big fans of the work that she's doing.
Love what she's got going on. Man, that's so many levels. That's hilarious.
I've never heard this before in my life.
So here's the first thing. I think that on an animalistic level, yeah, in my like animal caveman stupid brain,
mm-hmm,
I get the science behind it.
Okay.
Like, you shake it too much and it's going to stay shook.
Yeah.
You know, sure, what I'm saying? And like, do you ever remember, like, when you're a kid, being tickled is so visceral that, like, you think back as a kid, like, how hard you'd be laughing and shit like that. And it's like, yeah, that could have shook something loose.
Yeah. Yeah. I never thought about it in terms of shaking something loose, but that is the part that maybe hits the most for me, is that, like, it's not about getting tickled so much that you stay tickled, as much as it is like something, babies are fragile and sort of like are not fully configured inside all the way.
Right.
And the idea that you do something so jarring to the physical form that it becomes permanent feels like a real thing.
Cause it's like, also think about it. There's no other form of affection or anything else that you do to a kid that is that physically intense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like very, because so my two brothers, this is really funny. My two brothers have very, because I'm way older than them, right? I'm like 14, yeah, 15 years old. So I knew them when they were babies. My two brothers had very different reactions. My one little brother liked being tickled too much, where I would be like, you have to calm down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'd be, and he'd be going ape shit. I'd be like, you got, this is not good. This is like, I feel like I'm creating some kind of a dependence. This, yeah, is, you can't be seeking this feeling in the world.
Yeah, you're, you know, a tickle, I mean, fiend, my man.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in a documentary someday. Yeah, you got to, like, stop.
You're having too good a time. And then my other little brother really disliked it.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell it was like kind of too intense for him. Mm-hmm. Like, you would tickle him and he would be laughing, but he'd be pissed. So, yeah, as soon as you'd be done, he'd be like really upset with you, and like, I don't like kind of stop doing it. You know what I,
yeah,
mean?
My daughter is closer to that energy where she like will laugh about it, but also like afterwards it's like, hey, don't do that. That's not,
because it is,
that's not cool, and I don't appreciate it.
And I get it, because it's very, it's very like assault. It's intense.
It's a disarming experience, and you can't control your reaction in a way that feels maybe the most vulnerable that you can feel in your human experience. You know what I mean? Where,
sure,
like
sure,
I something is being forced out of me that I truly was not aiming for, don't like. It's too much.
Yeah, and it's like this type of thing where it's like, if the reaction to tickling wasn't laughing, we would think it was torture.
It's weeping. Yeah.
If tickling elicited the response of crying, doing that to someone would be the worst thing you could possibly do.
Which I do think, and maybe this is me conflating television with real life, but wasn't tickle torture a real thing? Wasn't that at some point that people did? I'm going to look it up.
Tickle when I torture. Think about it in my head, it also makes me think it was an episode of a cartoon or something.
Yeah.
Like, they had somebody tied up and they put like a feather to their feet. But I would tell. If you tickle me too much, I don't like being tickled now. My girl just found out on the bottom of my feet, and I had to be like, listen, like, you can't just like walk by and like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, they're saying that tickle torture is a more of a TV trope than a real thing. Although,
hey, no shame, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, and again, remind y'all, fucking idiot. But this website called danpetrosini.com claims that in ancient China, tickle torture was used as a way to punish the noble class. It was preferred over other types of discipline because it left no marks and the victims would recover fairly quickly. Is also used as a torture tool in ancient Japan, where it was called merciless tickling. My favorite historical reference depicted above has the Romans tying a prisoner down and then coating the bottom of their feet with salt water. They would then bring out a goat who would lick the salt off, igniting uncontrollable laughter.
I hate that. I hate that the goat is involved.
Yeah, that makes it worse somehow. Now, I will say that this article does not have any references or any real, proof of the claim. So I worry that it is just a person writing slightly racist things about the past. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, I bet the ancient Chinese did that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ancient Chinese secret.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Wikipedia also says that there's an article in the British Medical Journal that describes the goat licking, but it remains unclear if this method was ever used in practice, as it is only described in the 1502 Tractatus de Indices el Tortura by by the Italian jurist and monk Franciscus Brunus de San Severino, a treatise that actually cautioned against the torture in general. And while it seems clear that he had not made up this practice, the issue is left open whether the inclusion is based on hearsay.
Right. Yeah, I worry that some of this is just rooted in hearsay. This article also claims that there's documented evidence that Nazi guards tickled inmates in concentration camps in order to torture them. And that feels like a lie.
That I think that is a lie.
There's no fucking way in the world that in between gassing people to death and shooting them in the head, they also were tickling these motherfuckers.
They were, yeah. I think we have a lot of documentary on what they did, and it's all atrocious. I don't think they were also like, yeah, tickle them too.
Yeah, I don't think they wanted the Jewish people to have any fun.
Yeah.
Even if it was fun against their will, they were like, you're not fucking going
to
get tickled.
Yeah, that's like not, I think it kind of does a disservice to the legacy of what happened there.
Yeah. So maybe we don't trust everything that they're saying. But it does sound like at least the tropes on television were rooted in some version of historical near fiction, that like maybe there were theories on tickle torture that at some point were tried or at the very least considered by people.
Right. And I think, I mean, back to the root of all this, I am constantly of the fear that I'm going to do something too much and get it stuck. So this plays right into I believe this one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe, because like my one brother that we tickled, he's fine. He's a singer now. He's doing great.
Yeah.
But like a lot of billowy clothing, but that's for our family to figure out. You know what I mean?
Here's what I'll say. I don't know that I believe that just tickling will lead to a stutter, but I do believe, and I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Let's go crazy.
I do believe that every single person with a stutter was maybe tickled too hard at some point.
Okay.
I don't believe that tickling leads to stutters, but I do believe there is a Venn diagram of motherfuckers getting tickled too hard and now a stutter exists. And so I don't know that we have the runway to be able to create causality, right? Like to say this is definitively the cause, but I will say that I bet they've all experienced a similar thing at some point.
To push back on that a little bit.
Yep.
Who hasn't been tickled real hard?
I don't know.
I think everybody's at least, I mean, you have to come from a pretty cold upbringing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think Donald Trump's been tickled at all.
I think he was tickled as a baby.
You think Donald Trump was tickled?
At some point. So I think a housekeeper, I think the Jamaican woman who raised him, yeah, I think she tickled him sometimes.
I don't think anybody's ever tickled that man once, and I think that's how he got here.
I don't think you can come out of childhood without getting tickled. I really don't. It's one of the easiest games to play with a child.
It's one of the easiest games to play with a child you have any affection for. And right. I think that there are some people who find themselves in childhoods that are completely loose of affection.
I think so. But even then, they never had a friend's parent. They never had somebody, like a local pervert. Don't do that. I knew you were going to do that. And I don't think it's fair. Right now. Because listen, a lot of us maybe didn't get the affection that was maybe needed as a child. And we run to things like the entertainment field to fill that void. But even within that, we've all still been tickled.
Sure.
I mean,
I've been tickled quite a bit.
Yeah, kids get tickled. It just happens, you know what I mean? It's like, also, if you don't know kids or something, it's like a really easy go-to. What am I going to ask you? How's the wife and kids? How's school going? No, I'm going to tickle you, and then I'll be out. And yeah, like,
let me get under them armpits real quick.
Yeah, could you, and then I'm out. go somewhere.
Hey, you go take care of yourself.
Yeah, all right, here's a cig.
Here's a tickle and a cigarette.
The point is, I do think tickling is such a, I think it's a pretty, because I, and now maybe I'm overstepping, but I think that it's like crosses even cultures. I feel like the whole world is tickling. Right? Like there's no country where they don't tickle children, I'd imagine.
I don't think so, but maybe that's our own ignorance, right? Like, I truly don't know.
Well, because I think that also this is weird. I think in America, we're a lot softer on babies than other places are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
Like, in Sierra Leone, they're hard on babies, bro. I just take a little baby. You think it's funny?
I'll say this.
I remember my auntie, like, picking up my cousin by his leg, like, it's funny.
But I also think that in other places, while yes, they can be quote unquote hard on babies, there also is like a more of an intimacy created between parents and their kids than sometimes in the United States. Like,
really?
My friend was telling me that there's this practice that happens in a lot of international Asian households where when a child is born, the mother will spend like 3 months in the bed with the child. That, like, they will just be in the bed all day long, nursing, spending time, cuddling, because it's both a chance for the mother to recover, but also to sort of build, like, an intimacy, a comfort with this child. And I think because of that, you really become fucking locked in as a unit, and that child is, like, nurtured, cared for in a way that, like, in a fucking America, you got to be back to work in 2 weeks. You know what
right,
I mean?
Like,
you
right.
That luxury doesn't exist. So while we are, quote unquote, presenting easier on our children, we are not necessarily giving them the things that, like, other children are probably reaping.
God damn, ain't that America in a nutshell? Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. That fucked me up.
It's disappointing when you find out that, like, oh, we truly are just doing things wrong in some ways.
Right. Because, I mean, our babies take a long time to take care of.
Yeah.
You ever read that book, Sapiens, that Yuva Torbo guy? It goes back to this idea of, like, standing up. We weren't maybe ever supposed to be standing up. And because of it, our babies come out underdeveloped. Because it takes longer to take care of our babies than, like, any other animal.
Yeah, right. It takes us way longer to become full grown than every other type of animal. And
giraffes develop. Start out doing it all.
Them motherfuckers come out tall and ready.
Come on.
Flop to the ground and get to work.
Yeah, man. These giraffes are so fun. I got in a giraffe fight the other day. This is weird, actually. I don't want to talk about it.
What? What do you mean? You got in a giraffe fight? What?
Me? Oh, man.
Can I guess what I think it is?
Yeah.
Okay. What I know about how giraffes fight is they slam their necks into each other. Am I to believe that you and another person were slamming your heads and necks into each other?
Yeah.
Why are you so embarrassed?
It's like weird now that
no, it's definitely weird.
After I like said it, it's like because me and my girl were in the kitchen and we accidentally bumped heads, and then she's like, "Let's fight like giraffes." It's only like a little bit.
Damn, man, you're in love. That's beautiful. That's really nice.
Something's going on.
You're just out here being weird with a lady because she asked. That's what love is.
Baby. Well, I'm weird too, though. So it's like, I was like, yeah. I've never been in a giraffe fight.
I'm not going to miss out on an opportunity to giraffe fight.
Turns out, if you have a regular neck, it's hard to get the angles.
Yeah, I was about to say, it seems like you probably are hitting chins and skulls pretty
often.
It's
just, you can't like, because you try to like elongate and then go in. But yeah. It's like, it's just, we're not built for it.
We're not built like that.
Thank God she doesn't listen to this podcast.
You got to tell her to listen. We need the numbers. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. We need the boost.
let's take ego out of this and get this lady at least downloading once a week.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We're calling upon you because we have new merch. We have very exciting merch that we are now selling, and it's fucking great. We love it so much.
It's sleek. It's sexy.
Come on. You want to tell them what we have?
Yeah, we have 3 different types of hats, which is really fun. We have a two-tone hat, an alien dad hat, the traditional logo in black and khaki. Then we have the enamel pin with the alien who has a kufi on it, says, "My mama told me." And then we have t-shirts that say, "Proud little mama," which is who you are.
Yeah. You can buy the merch now. Go to mymamatoldme.merchtable.com. It's a brand new name, but it's the same old merch. And we would love for you to get some if you haven't got it already. And we want you to have all the sweet stuff. So get it. I looked up online what causes stuttering. The Stuttering Foundation, stutteringhelp.org, says there are four factors most likely to contribute to the development of stuttering. Genetics: approximately 60% of those who stutter have a family member who does also. Child development: children with other speech and language problems or developmental delays are more likely to stutter. Neurophysiology: recent neurological research has shown that people who stutter process speech and language slightly differently than those who do not stutter. And family dynamics: high expectations and fast-paced lifestyles can contribute to stuttering. Stuttering may occur when a combination of factors comes together and may have different causes in different people. It is probable that what causes stuttering differs from what makes it continue or get worse. No mention of tickling, but certainly elements inside of this that feel like they at least are speaking to the possibility of familial influence and physical, I guess, nothing physical, but certain sociological influence in your home.
I mean, that in and of itself is scary, that you can put a lifestyle on a child that will develop. Is it like a stress thing? Like high expectations and fat, like the kids under so much stress is just like, even talking becomes difficult?
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, obviously you can't downplay the sort of importance of family and neurological development being like the probably the biggest players inside of this. Right. But I imagine that like the stress of a fast-paced household or things not necessarily being as, I guess, you know, helpful in the net needs and resolves of that one individual. Because I don't want to put it on some shit where it's like, oh, your house is fucked up and that's why you stutter. Right, I don't think that's right, what they're right, saying. Right. I think they're more saying that like, we all individually have specific needs based on our own brains and like house. And sometimes that need doesn't match what you have. And that might lead to a little bit of a stutter.
Okay, that's good, because I'm glad it's not physical, because there's time. I was worried you were going to say you could scare it into somebody.
Ooga booga. <Come
on. laughs> Wait, you ever scare a kid a little too much? You're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, have you ever done that? Like, where you scared a kid and it was like they got too scared?
You know what? I was so much a kid who did not like being scared. How you're talking about how your little brother not liking being tickled. Yeah. That's how I felt about like motherfuckers hiding around corners and being spooky and shit.
Yeah.
And I have chosen not to ever do that to my kid. Like,
interesting. Well, a tale of two brothers again, both also had the same reactions to being scared.
Oh, one of them really liked it and the other one.
Yeah, the tickle one, the fiend, who as an adult is not an adult, he's 16, but is like the more calm one of all of us now. He's the calmest one. Well, but he also loved to be scared.
He survived trauma.
Don't do that. But he likes
that. I grew up in a haunted house, so I think I'll be okay.
He would like, because when you would scare him, like if you do the boo thing, he would get scared and then he would laugh really, really hard.
Yeah.
Whereas Martin, the one you met, he was very like, he was kind of one of those kids where which to his credit, and he carried it on to adulthood, thank God, but he was very quick to be like, I don't like that.
I think about, you watch Ellen, right? And like, back
no.
When, well, I didn't mean literally, I just meant, in the you in the royal sense.
Okay.
I didn't presume that you were spending your mornings watching that white lady dance in sneakers.
I didn't think you did either. That's why I was kind of offended when you brought it up.
No. I do not watch Ellen, although I thought that she was a pretty good lady until I found out she wasn't. And
I don't mind daytime talk, though. I will say it's like kind of fun to watch like The Real or something.
I like when it feels like you're actually having a conversation with that person. I get more bored when it feels like, oh, these are just canned bits during the day. Cause then it's like, well, if I'm watching that, then I might as well wait till late night where they'll tell the naughty version of this story.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? That's fair. You don't like watching my man, Michael Strahan?
No, I've never cared for him having a talk show once. I actually think it's pretty offensive that this man with brain damage gets to be.
Don't come on, Michael Strahan. He is just a charming guy.
I don't like it. I truly don't like when sports.
This might be because you don't like football, though.
It might be, but I really don't like when sports guys suddenly become like sort of like media guys. It fucking bugs me, and I don't know why.
Really?
But it don't sit right in my spirit when they like suddenly become cute and are hanging out.
Is it because deep down you just think they're big gorillas paid to smash each other? Because that's how it sounds the way you're talking. That's like me reading between the lines. And this is, I love Michael Strahan. I've always thought he was charming. I loved him when he played football. Like, oh my God. When he was on the Giants, he was so much fun. And then he had that commercial, big old Michael Strahan. Oh man. Love that guy.
I want to defend myself, but I guess a little part of me is like, yeah, I don't think these big old animals should be talking to fucking Sidney Sweeney. Yes.
I feel it emanating from you.
I just like when people stay in the lane that they are strongest in, and it bugs me when people find themselves in a lane that I know is not where they're supposed to be. You know what I mean? That, like, I get it. Michael Strahan is a charming guy. He's handsome. He's fine, but he's also like a galoot with a lisp. And
I feel like you're playing a, it's like some guys, they make it great. Like Shaq, great media personality.
Shaq is a great media personality next to three other guys who know how to talk. But Shaq ain't supposed to be talking to regular people.
That's an insane take. His voice is just deep. He's not slow.
Yes, he is, David.
All right, bro, this is not dude, where I thought we were going to split. You think Shaq is a stupid person? You think Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal?
I don't mean to stretch this into smart and not smart. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. I think you're extending it there. I am saying that Shaq next to Kenny, Ernie, and Charles is phenomenal. But whenever they put Shaq next to other people, you start to really tell that this motherfucker ain't connecting dots the way he's supposed to connect dots. There are those episodes where it's like him and Candace Parker, and Candace Parker is exhausted by the end of that shit because he is a hard man to talk to and he ain't throwing up no lobs to nobody. That's what I'm saying, is that under the right circumstances, I'll listen to Shaq talk all day, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that this is like a late night talk show host.
I mean, okay, he's no Arsenio Hall.
No.
That's fair.
He's not even Devontae Hall, who even know who that is. I assume Arsenio's slow cousin. He's none of those people.
I like the big fella. I like Michael Strahan.
My point, before we got into this ugly tangent,
point this got dark.
Literally. Was to say that.
Because I don't think you'd be saying that if he was light skinned.
I'd shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shaq, you're a wonderful speaker, and both your eyes are looking in the same direction.
Yeah, because how do you feel about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I don't like that shit either. What the fuck are you doing in the Veronica Mars room? That don't make no goddamn sense.
You're talking you lost a job. He's a very smart man.
He's not funny. Why is he writing in comedy rooms?
Is Veronica Mars a comedy? I've never watched it. I have never watched it.
He's never made us laugh once.
I thought it was pretty funny when he was doing that karate.
My point. If I can get to my point.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
My point was that on Ellen, they used to do that thing where they would scare the shit out of their guests. Every once in a while, somebody would be sitting there and then like a producer or a scary person would pop out from a box, the back, whatever. And you always see sort of these telling moments inside of the celebrities of like the people who laugh it off genuinely and the people who are laughing because if they don't, they're worried they're going to lose their career, but like are truly angry about what just happened to them. And I think I fall much closer to the, I would be truly angry and not in a way that I could like just keep chit chatting about.
That's fair.
My life. You know what I mean?
I do see that, and I would respect that in you. Like, I wouldn't, nothing about you makes me think you would like want to be scared.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, I could tell. I feel like it would take you out of your frame. I feel like it would make you vulnerable in a way that I don't think you would appreciate.
Nah, I've worked really hard to present a certain person to the world.
And you could make one noise and that shit would go crumble.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I do be making weird noises. Like I cried so hard at our wedding. And one of those cries were like, while I was trying to say my vows, like a sound came out, and then I had to apologize to the entire, I had to be like, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what that was.
Man.
And, you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's crazy that you even told that story. I wouldn't have told nobody.
Well, you're my friend. I'm being vulnerable.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, back off. No, do you cry weird? Are you a weird crier?
I think so. I think it's because I try not to be crying too hard. And,
right.
And it always makes that coyote yelp happen.
That's the thing about crying is you kind of just got to let it pass through. Like, because if you hold on to not crying, that shit, then that's when it sounds goofy. You got to just take the 2-3 big sobs and then get through it.
Yeah, take a deep breath, let it out, and then be past it. And
you're holding on. No, I'm telling you, because I probably hit a cry once every 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like I know how to go through it, and it's also like you just gotta make sure nobody's around, man. Get in the shower, turn the water on.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Blast. You're hiding them tears.
Yeah, blast that Mary J. Blige, not gonna cry, and just feel what you gotta feel.
Damn. Yeah, I'm not there yet. But I'll work on it. I'm a man in constant change, in constant growth, and I will grow beyond where I am. And maybe I'll grow to learn and understand Shaq to be the brilliant thinker that you see him as.
That's not what I'm just, you would like him, I think.
I don't think so. I think
if we hung out with the big fella, you don't think he'd have a good time?
No, I think he's probably a bully in real life.
Do you not like it because he would be so much larger than you?
No, I genuinely think he takes a type of pride in being so much larger than people that like he's the type of dude that'll like bump you intentionally and like sort of shake you a little bit. And I don't like that.
I could see him like picking you up.
Yeah, not in a way that's that like, we're both having fun type shit. It's like, no, I want you to feel...
Like, look, I could pick you up.
Yeah, look, you're a small, weak man to me. Look.
Yeah,
and look, it's like...
Diesel got you in a headlock.
Let me see your little pee-pee. Let me see.
Whoa. he pulled
my pants down. He's like, look at it. That's nothing compared to mine. Look at that.
I think ultimately we just unlocked what your real fear is.
Yeah, I don't want him to pick me up and expose my little pee-pee to the world.
Take your pee-pee up. Because when you say it, that would be terrible.
That's the type of guy he is, I think.
There's a pee-pee.
Look at it. Look.
Your wife is there.
This is what you like. you vowed your life to this.
Yeah.
It's like, she's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
And his voice is all low, so it would hurt even more. He'd be like, Lisa has a tiny penis.
You know people got their phones out. We're at a restaurant, Jack.
Oh, man, yeah.
Why would you do this?
He took his shit out of Dan Tanner's.
Come on, man. It's a good restaurant. Why would you do that?
It's our anniversary.
We invited you here, me, you, my wife, for our anniversary.
Oh, man. I mean, that's fair. He does use his size in a way that, and who amongst us would not?
No, I don't blame him. I'm certainly not better than him. I just don't believe that he would have good intentions for me and, frankly, you, if we spent time with him.
Maybe. I think I could get in there.
And I think that that's maybe some of the sickness, right, is that we all ourselves sort of believing in our heroes in a way that maybe isn't completely true, but...
And now, if I'm being honest with myself, maybe I just love him because he was the biggest, blackest thing. And as a big black thing, I was, you know what I mean? Like, I've always been, I big nigga heroes, bro. I've always been like big dark guys who are making, they have a space in my heart. You know what
I'm
saying?
Bro, I get it. There are a bunch of losers who are just light skinned men that right. I'm always going to root for. Right. In a way that everybody else, you know, won't. And I can't.
You have your kings as well, I'm sure.
I have my kings, and I can't walk away from that, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise, no matter what anybody says about them, because it just, you made me feel seen in a way that I needed when no one else could.
Right. Like, there's nothing Ben Wallace could do that would make me turn my back on him.
Mm-hmm. I respect that.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Same thing for Austin Rivers for me. You
know? Yo. You know what's fucked up in my heart of hearts? And this is my immediate feeling to that. When you said that, I was like, yeah, we are better. Like in my brain, I was like, this nigga said Austin Rivers. I'm talking about Ben Wallace.
I was joking. Oh, you can shit on Austin Rivers, but he was the funniest name I could think of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a nugget for a while. Anyways,
to Corey's, because
I think we got what we needed.
Corey, to your question of whether or not tickling leads to stuttering, I think we would be irresponsible to say anything other than that is not true. Your mother is wrong, but she remains the funniest mom.
Yeah.
And she deserves the Funniest Mom Award when that comes out. I don't know when voting opens up, but she certainly has mine and David's vote.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, tell your mom we said hi.
Tell your mom we said what's up.
Hey, girl.
What's up, man?
Tell her Langston licked his lips.
hey, tell her we say hi.
Yeah.
Corey. Tell your mom when we say hi.
Yeah, when your mom comes around, I'm going to be like, where's my hug at? Miss Brandy, where my hug at? I do want it known for the record. I'm not a where my hug at type dude at all. This was just a bit. No, you're not.
I'm joking. No.
that doesn't even fit with your whole get down. That's like,
no, that'd be devastating to find out about a person you know, to be like, oh shit, that's who you are.
Because you also seem like a guy who would get the hug naturally, anyways. Because to be a where my hug at, you have to not.
Yeah, you weren't going to get a hug.
You weren't going to get, which means you're already kind of, maybe it's a musty situation or just a general off-putting in that women don't want to embrace you.
Yeah, exactly. Can you tell the people where they can find you and what cool shit you have going on?
Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. All the stuff is there. I'm not touring too much right now, but back in like June, July, that's about to start up again. So in the meantime, just... watch Royal Crackers. Come to the show. Come to the live show for my birthday. It's gonna be great at the Comedy Store, May 5th. Live. My mama told me we're trying to sell that bitch out, so then we can in turn sell more shows out. Eventually, make enough money to disappear and have you never see us again. Because ultimately, we do not know you.
We don't know you, and we're going to retire in the Caribbean.
Except for Miss Brandy.
Miss Brandy, we know you.
We know you, Miss Brandy.
Corey, mama, we know her.
Come on, fine as a bitch, man.
And funny, she's funny.
Bro, Miss Brandy's so funny, bro.
As always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman. And if you want to send us your own drops, your own conspiracy theories, if you want to tell us exactly where we can find Corey's mom, send it all to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can buy the merch. I believe the website changed, so I don't remember what it is, but look it up. You'll find it. Yeah. It's not that deep. And like, subscribe. Do whatever you're
rate
supposed to do.
iTunes. Oh yeah,
rate on iTunes. Do all that stuff so that we get these numbers popping like they should. We love all of our listeners, and we're grateful for all you new listeners that keep coming in. And that's all the stuff that we needed to say. Bye, bitch.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.